Okay, so once again, we have a week featuring looking at a bunch of stuff that you should already be well familiar with, because you've already been tested over the stuff. Urinary system. So, I don't have an extensive sermon, but let's rehash some old ground quickly. What is the functional unit of a kidney? The nephron, exactly. And even though the nephron is a functional unit, it has several parts within it, right? Let's name those in the order in which things occur in them. What's the first part of a nephron? The glomerulus is part of what structure that's in the same place, basically, and that includes the glomerulus. No, that comes after. But the glomerulus is just the blood vessel, right? What's the glomerulus an example of? It's a capillary. It's a blood capillary. And it's the first of two capillaries in the renal portal system, right? But the glomerulus, that's the first part. I mean, that's contained in the first part of the nephron. But what surrounds the glomerulus? Well, what surrounds it is the capsule, and the answer I was originally looking for is the corpuscle. The renal corpuscle includes the capsule, which is the surrounding, and the glomerulus. They're both parts of the renal corpuscle. What's the eponymous word for the capsule? Eponymous means named after a human. I don't know whether I ever mentioned this, but you still see it in a lot of books, even though eponyms are not very helpful because they don't really describe the thing. It's also called Bowman's capsule. All right, so that's the first part of the nephron, the renal corpuscle, and that leads directly to what? The proximal convoluted tubule, and it's called proximal because it's the first one in line, right? Let's back up for a second to the renal corpuscle. What's the major function of the renal corpuscle? Filtration, right, which is one component of urine formation. Now we're in the proximal convoluted tubule. What do we call the stuff that's filtered?
Filtrate.
And then now we're in the proximal convoluted tubule. So we no longer call it filtrate, we call it tubular fluid. Okay, once it's in the proximal convoluted tubule. And what are the major jobs of the proximal convoluted tubule? Reabsorption and secretion, exactly. What's the difference between the two? Reabsorption takes in what do you mean by that?
Gets the water back.
Well, not necessarily just water. A lot of water is reabsorbed. But reabsorption refers to movement of whatever it is from where to where? From where? From either the tubular fluid, which is what it would be in the proximal convoluted tubule, or the urine, if we were talking about the collecting duct, because that features some reabsorption as well. To where? From the fluid, whether it's tubular fluid or urine, to the blood, exactly. Not directly, of course. It has to go to interstitium first, but then it makes it to the blood. And that's where most of the reabsorption and secretion takes place, in the proximal convoluted tubule. What's the next thing in line? No. The overall neck structure, which the descending limb is part of, is what? Nephron loop, which also has an eponymous name. What's it also go by? Loop of Henle, exactly. And so, yeah, the parts of the loop of Henle, or nephron loop, the first part, like you said, is the descending limb, and then you have the, where it makes a hairpin turn, and you, it gives rise to the ascending limb. Where do you, what kind of nephrons feature long nephron loops? Juxtamedullary nephrons, as opposed to what other kinds? Not papillary. Cortical. Yes, because you find those mostly in the cortex. Juxtamedullary means that they're next to the medulla, and in fact the loops of Henle extend down into the medulla. Which, by the way, is the more frequently occurring type of nephron? Cortical. There are far more cortical nephrons whose job is to do the bulk of the reabsorption and secretion, but despite being not all that many by comparison, juxtamedullary nephrons are very important because those long nephron loops accomplish what? No, they don't. They actually cause the tubular fluid to become more dilute than when it entered. Because what is the milliosmolarity of tubular fluid when it enters the descending limb? 300 milliosmoles per liter. What is it when it comes out of the loop? 100. So, fluid coming out of the loop is actually less concentrated than fluid coming into the loop. But what's the function of the loop itself? Not allowed to forget this stuff after you're tested on it. You need to remember this for the rest of your life. The nephron loops establish and maintain the gradient of osmolarity that you have in the renal medulla. So the deeper you get in the medulla, which means closer to the hilum, closer to the tips of the renal pyramids, where the urine actually comes out, the higher the osmolarity is. So at the hairpin bottom of a loop is where you have 1200 milliosmoles. The descending limb, which is the first part, what can you say about what travels through the wall of that limb? No, it's not very permeable to solutes. It's very permeable to water. So the tubular fluid on its way down will lose water, but not solutes, and therefore it does become temporarily concentrated. But that same fluid on the way up is going to lose solutes, but not water. And that's how the solutes get into the medulla, to establish that osmolarity gradient. But by the time you've removed all those solutes by pumping them out of the ascending limb, you're left with tubular fluid exiting the loops at 100 milliosmoles on average, which is even more dilute than when it came in. Okay, then you get to what part of the nephron? Distal convoluted tubule, whose job is to do what? Well, the distal convoluted tubule also does both reabsorption and secretion, just not as much as the proximal convoluted tubule. And it's also more so, I mean, it's also involved in adjusting the final wateriness of the urine. It's not yet called urine until it gets into the collecting duct, right? But it's involved in the final wateriness because of the fact that fluid coming there is actually more dilute than fluid entering the loop to begin with. So this allows the body to produce a huge range in concentration of solutes in the urine. It ranges from hypotonic urine to highly hypertonic urine, right? What would have to be the case for hypotonic urine to be produced? It would have to remain watery, which it already is when it gets to the distal convoluted tubule. And therefore, to make watery urine, that tubular fluid needs to have that water still in it, which means no reabsorption of water would take place, right? When does that happen? What causes that water not to be reabsorbed? Not ADH. The absence of ADH is what causes it. Because when ADH is not around, that means that the vesicles that have those little aquaporins in them remain inside the cells. So the cells aren't leaky to water, and the urine, which it will officially be called once it leaves the distal convoluted tubule into the collecting duct, will remain watery. All right? The nephron ends, though, there at the distal convoluted tubule. So the collecting duct is not part of the nephron because it's actually collecting fluid from several different nephrons, right? And the collecting duct's main job is what? Other than collecting fluid from several different nephrons and therefore making it be called officially the urine, what else does it function as physiologically? In addition to the distal convoluted tubule, the collecting duct is the main place where ADH operates. So ADH will cause the collecting duct to become leaky, and therefore water leaves the urine, which means it gets reabsorbed, right? What is it that causes it to be leave? What allows it to leave the fluid, the urine, is the aquaporins. But why does water actually leave? I mean, just because you have a tunnel, those are major reasons that would lead to this. But why is it just at the microscopic level, why is it that water actually does leave the urine? Because of the gradient that's in the medulla that the loops set up. So the loops set up the gradient and therefore ensure that the interstitium is always saltier than the urine. And therefore, if there are tunnels in the collecting wall, which there are in the presence of ADH, then the water will leave by osmosis passively through those aquaporins and get reabsorbed by what? The water goes immediately into the interstitium, but it doesn't stay there. It gets reabsorbed where? Vasa recta, exactly right. Now, the vasa recta is the second capillary bed making up that renal portal system, as long as we're talking about a juxtamedullary nephron. If it is a cortical nephron, what's that second capillary bed called? Paratubular capillary, exactly. Good. That's enough background. Go ahead and look at stuff.